Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Lucy Hickmott.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast on Tuesday, the 23rd of April. Coming up, we'll hear from a mum who's inviting Rishi Sunak to spend a week with her family to see what it's like to support a young adult struggling with mental health. But first, a child is thought to be among five people who've died while trying to cross the channel. The French Coast Guard launched a huge emergency response and reported several lifeless bodies in the water. It comes just hours after the government's Rwanda bill passed through Parliament. The Home Secretary says the policy could become law within days, and they're aiming to get the first flights off the ground in 10 to 12 weeks. Earlier, I spoke to Roya Rasulli from the Kent Refugee Action Network. Thank you for joining me today, Roya. First of all, could we just get your reaction to the news that the Rwanda bill has now passed through the parliament?
Yeah, the Rwanda Act is unworkable and it's expensive, divisive, and it's just dangerous to all the lives of all the asylum seekers as well as our young people, and it just risks them being sent back to their countries of origin.
And do you think this will do anything to put people off making that dangerous journey across the channel?
Not really, because the thing is, if you think about it, these people are escaping persecution, war, all sorts of horrible things they're escaping, and a lot of them may not even have access to the internet or like international news. A lot of them may not even know that this bill has passed. So when they're escaping things like war and persecution, checking the news is like one of the least of their concerns, you know. And there's been interviews with people in Calais, and a few of them have said, we don't really care about the bill, we're just going to keep on trying to get to England, because they said it's better than staying in our own countries.
And of course, we've heard news today about another tragedy in the channel. We think at least five people have lost their lives crossing over from France. I mean, what's your reaction to that?
Yeah. The government, for the last 2 years, they've been trying to justify the Rwanda Act. They're saying, oh, it's a deterrent. They keep saying they're going to stop the boats, and they say the Rwanda Act will deter that from happening. But just a few hours after Act passed, the tragedy occurred, and it's just heartbreaking to think those five people, including one child, they lost their lives. And instead of spending millions and millions on Rwanda, the government could instead introduce a safe legal route, because they're spending millions on this scheme, but at the end it's just not going to deter those people if they have no other, you know, safe legal route.
And I know there could still be some appeals or, you know, action to try and stop these flights taking off. Do you think it will ever happen? Do you think any of these asylum seekers will ever actually be sent to Rwanda?
As a charity, as CRAN, we hope that it won't happen. We hope that the appeals will be successful. And CRAN have signed an open letter to the government, which over 250 other organisations have also signed, calling for the government to, you know, rethink what they're trying to do. And the UK Supreme Court, as well as United Nations, this morning the United Nations urged the UK to rethink this scheme. And we do hope that all these pressures do something to make the UK rethink what they're doing. At the end of the day, we're all people, and these asylum seekers, they have every right to go to a safe country. And the UK, like under international law, the UK must, like, you know, obliged to that. They must provide a safe space for all these unaccompanied asylum seeking children or adults, whoever it might be. They have to, like, oblige to that. And the fact that they're, you know, kind of deflecting their responsibility to another country, which, you know, in the past there's been questions regarding Rwanda's human rights and what the government has done. So calling it a safe country and sending all these asylum seekers to a country like that, it's just not right.
Kent Online News.
A man who left a Dover shopkeeper with brain damage following an attack has been jailed. Kurt Collins hit his victim with a spirit level and baseball bat after getting into an argument outside the store on Snargate Street last September. The 35-year-old from Wellingborough in Northamptonshire has been locked up for 4 years. Footage has emerged of the moment a man was hit over the head in a street attack in Folkestone. It's said to have happened in front of children on Bradstone Road on Saturday. Police are hunting a suspect who fled the scene in a dark-coloured Audi Q7. Now, a Gravesend mum has issued an invitation to Rishi Sunak, saying he should come to her home and help give mental health support to her struggling 18-year-old. It comes after the Prime Minister said he wants to tackle what he's described as the UK's sick note culture and strip GPs of their power to sign people off work. Brendan Mannix says the comments show he's out of touch.
Well, I personally would like to invite Rishi round to my house to stay with my now 18-year-old child, who really has struggled with their mental health over the years with minimal support from services. Some of it, I will admit, has been really good, but as a whole, Mo has not received the help that they should get. And now I have an adult at home who is incapable of going out to work. And I invite Rishi to come around and spend a week with us and see what we have to do in our own home to keep Mo safe. We have to lock away shops. We have to lock away any sort of ligature items of clothing that they may use. I have to lock all my windows. I have to keep all my house keys in a safe. I have to keep all of Mo's medication and any medication that I might have in a safe locked away. My eldest daughter has to lock her bedroom so that she can live her life as she wants without worrying about what my daughter might find in there to self-harm or take an opportunity to abscond and end their own life. So Rishi, come round and spend a few days with us and see what it's like to look after someone with serious mental health issues, and try and calm the situation on a regular daily basis, and then tell my daughter that she needs to go out and go to work.
Mo has also been chatting to Kent Online following Rishi Sunak's controversial comments.
I think it's completely inaccurate. Personally, with my struggles with mental health, I have a diagnosis of EUPD, autism, CPTSD, and severe clinical depression and anxiety. The issue is that I really tried to go to school. I tried every day my hardest. Due to my anxiety, I suffered with a lot of panic attacks during school hours, and during those panic attacks, I struggled to breathe, I struggled to walk, I struggled to function. And even after those panic attacks, where it was advised by school that I should go home and I should rest and that I try tomorrow as a new day, I decided to stay in school because I personally felt I wanted to be learning, I wanted to be engaging, and I felt like I had a responsibility to myself and society as well as everyone around me to try my absolute hardest to stay in school and complete my education. Unfortunately, as time went on, my problems got more severe, and it was actually decided by school that I should take time off as my problems were getting too severe for school to handle, as they were concerned about my safety risk around balconies and self-harming with head banging and a lot of other personal mental health issues. And I actually got admitted to a hospital due to those mental health issues, but once I got discharged, I tried to return, but unfortunately with my newfound symptoms, where I had issues with hallucinations and delusions, with people trying to kill me and people wanting me dead, I couldn't actually sit in a classroom environment as I was too paranoid that those people were after me. But during all of that time, I did try my absolute hardest, and of course every day I regret and I feel guilty that my mental health issues have limited my education. And as much as I'd wish I'd gone back, or I still had the opportunity to go back, unfortunately that just was not available.
Charities and mental health experts have also raised concerns about the government's intended approach. Laura Cordell runs the Kindness and Wellbeing Group in Dartford.
I think he's really short-sighted, thinking that it's as easy as just people go to their GP and get a fit note, and then they can't work and then they get a cash payout. If it was that easy, everyone would be doing it. And although he tries to portray that, I really don't think that's the case. People that are struggling with their mental health and physical health feel like they're having to jump through hoops to get the PIP. And even then, they're still struggling. So to suggest that it's as easy as they could just go back to work when they're self-harming, feeling suicidal, etc., is just ridiculous.
And you said that they actually, it's the opposite, they actually want to go.
Yeah, I mean, so often, I had a really good job before I fell ill, and I was earning decent money. Like, why would I choose to give that up to be struggling with my physical and mental health instead? Like, that's not a choice. No one is deciding that actually that's a cushy life. That's such an ignorant opinion, that people are actually deciding that this is what they want for their life, when they could be contributing and so on. People want to be contributing to society, and making people that are struggling with their physical and mental health out to be the villains in society is just really unfair.
And what's been, would you say, because you've struggled with your mental health since you were young, do you think it would have helped to have had early intervention?
100%. I had a lot of bereavement in my childhood and no counselling from a young age, like when things actually happened. I didn't get any kind of support until we paid privately, like years later. But if I'd had that early intervention, and if schools had been set up when I was a child to actually notice these kind of issues and my social communication issues, maybe things could have been different. And for other people that I know as well, if they'd actually had early intervention, it would have made a difference. So that's one of the things that I try and do now with the Kindness and Wellbeing Group, and sending out mental health packs for free to people that are struggling all over the world, is to actually give them something that they need now, because the waiting lists are so long, people are struggling so much. And to suggest that actually, when people are struggling with their mental health and they go to their GP, like, then they get fixed, that's just so short-sighted. That's not the case. Chances are there's really long waiting lists to get any support, and people get worse during that time. They're not getting better while they're getting no support. Those problems are exacerbating, and then you're getting additional challenges on that, whereas maybe they're not being able to work, so they're then going on to statutory sick or something, so they've got even less money. That's another stress. Maybe they're feeling really hopeless. That's another stress. Maybe relationships are struggling as a result of all the stress in the house. That's another compounding issue. So these issues are getting worse and worse. All the while, they're on these really long waiting lists.
We've contacted Downing Street for a response to the family's invitation.
Kent Online reports.
A grocery store in Ashford's been given a one-star food hygiene rating after inspectors found out-of-date meat and poor hand-washing practices. Animal carcasses were also being stored next to salad items at Variety Cash and Carry on the High Street. The owners have been told to make major improvements following the visit last month. Thousands of pounds worth of power tools and cameras have been stolen from a nature reserve in Sevenoaks. Kent Wildlife Trust say substantial damage has also been caused to the site in Bradbourne Vale Road. Police are investigating. Elsewhere, vandals have set fire to children's playgrounds near Dartford. Equipment's been left badly damaged after it happened at Heathside Rec off Horton Road. Eight young men were reportedly in the area when the blaze started. There are calls for something to be done to address health inequality in Medway. New data shows the life expectancy of the average male living in Chatham is 73, but at the other end of the 151 bus route in Cuxton, it's 83. The local Democracy Reporting Service has been speaking to Neil Charlick from Gillingham Street Angels, who works with people in Chatham to provide food and shelter.
There's food poverty, there's clothes poverty, digital inclusion. There's all these different things these days. There's so many different problems. Just to rent a house alone, you have to be earning a lot of money just to go and rent a house. They're in a never-ending cycle of bailiffs, debt. It just, I can't see people getting out of it quickly.
Dr. Julian Spinks is a Medway GP. He says the answer isn't as simple as people moving away from more deprived areas.
Some of the factors are factors to do with the person themselves, but definitely they'd be in a situation where there's more green space around them, they're likely to have a better house, may even have better access to health services and other services. So yes, making that move up market, shall we say, would have a positive effect on health, but they've got to be able to afford it, and there's a lot of factors preventing that happening.
Theresa Murray's a Medway councillor. She says there are plans to improve parts of Chatham.
It's about getting more affordable housing. We know that we have to do that. We've got a pilot licensing scheme happening so that we take people out of properties that are being used for private rent, particularly, not all landlords, but some, where they're taking housing benefit and people are in poor conditions. We want to stop that and send a message. We've got better expectations. We've got a really big development plan for Chatham that includes new play spaces, nice new places to gather, and we've had a big consultation about that.
Phil Filmer is another of Medway's councillors. He's warned the focus needs to be on making sure the most vulnerable people aren't left behind.
I think what we need to be careful of is we don't all come down to the same level. We need to raise those areas up to the level. When you take the GP practice in Cuxton and Halling, it's a family practice and everyone speaks very well of them. No problem getting appointments, not like in other areas where you sit on the phone for hours on end.
You can take a look at the life expectancy for every part of Medway in the story at Kent Online.
Kent Online News.
A huge convoy of fire engines has travelled through Kent today as volunteers begin a journey to deliver aid to Ukraine. More than 30 vehicles were spotted on the M20 this morning. They're carrying equipment like ladders, boats and breathing kits to help those fighting the war against Russia. A person's been fined for fly-tipping the same fridge in two different parts of Thanet. It was first spotted in Cuthbert Road in Westgate before later being found in Athelstan Road in Margate. Police used CCTV to identify the suspect's car. They've been ordered to pay more than £500. A school near Sittingbourne is getting ready to welcome back pupils almost 7 months after it was damaged in a fire. The blaze last October is thought to have started accidentally as a result of repair work being carried out on the roof of the school due to a leak. Students have been attending classes at nearby schools but will be allowed back on site on May 13th. Now, a bid to allow retirees to stay in their park homes all year round has been refused, despite claims its residents were victims of some serious mis-selling. Occupants of Beverley Park on the Isle of Sheppey say they bought the properties on the understanding they could live there on a permanent basis. In fact, they only had permission for 10-month residencies at the site on Warden Road in Eastchurch. Wendy Benton is among those living there.
It's been an uphill struggle all this time. So what we did, we had so many meetings with councillors, Larissa Reed, CEO of Swale Council. We had many meetings with her, and it was her that actually said, why don't you put your own application in? And that's exactly what we did. We put our own application, and that was in December 22. And we've waited now all this time, from that time that they had to receive the application, and I put that in myself, right to when it was finally heard. But because it's so difficult, the situation is so difficult, that it's taken that long, and we were able to stand in front of a committee. So, you know, and this is the closest we've been now. We formed an action group, which I'm spokesperson, and we have other people who do things as well within the group, you know, and we formed that group, and we pay so much a month into the fund to pay for solicitor's fees. And if it has to go to court, then it will.
Swale Council say the site is unsuitable for permanent year-round residential use because it's in a remote part of the countryside. A spokesperson says the authority is considering next steps in due course. An historic monument in Dover is set to reopen this summer after being closed for nearly 2 years. The Roman painted house in New Street dates back to 220 AD. It's now been handed back to the council, who've promised to spend £70,000 on repairs and have it open by the end of July. Head over to Kent Online to get your first look at Maidstone's new mini water park. The Aztec-themed splash pad in the leisure centre is set to have slides, a water cannon and other interactive features. Computer-generated images have been released showing what the £2.5 million upgrade will look like. And a billiard table once owned by Queen Victoria has been restored in Kent and is up for sale. The antique was purchased by a couple who restore old billiards and snooker tables in Paddock Wood 15 years ago. They're now selling it on. It's expected to fetch around £150,000.
Kent Online Sport.
Football, and the Ebbsfleet boss has been speaking about the side avoiding relegation from the National League. Danny Searle described Saturday's goalless draw at Boreham Wood as the best day of his career. He only took over the side in February and has been chatting to Bartholomew Hall from our colleagues at KMTV.
We were immensely proud. I'm proud of what we've achieved in the short time we've been at the club. And you look at where we were when I came in 15 games ago to where we are now, and a lot of people had written us off and said it was mission impossible, but everyone come together, the supporters, the staff, the players, and we just worked tirelessly to try and get what we wanted. And as you said, celebrating a 0-0 draw in the way we did was probably, from anyone outside of looking in, would probably think we're mad. But when you've been through the emotional roller coaster that we've been through, it was exactly what was needed, because we thoroughly deserved to celebrate in that way.
And it was a fairly tough end to the season, but saying that, the start of your tenure at the club was a really positive one. You got 22 points from your first 11 games, and that was quite the pace to set things off. So you seem to gel with this team pretty early on.
Yeah, it's a very talented group of players, a lot of experience in there. There's a lot of players in there that I knew already and I'd either worked with or I'd come across in my time in football. So it was a no-brainer from my perspective to take the role, because I knew the potential of the squad. The tough part is actually, can you get that potential out of the lads, and can you make them perform to the levels they need to ensure Ebbsfleet were playing National League football next season? That was the challenge. And to be honest, that's where the credit goes to the lads, because they bought into me from day one. And it was, the rest is history from that perspective, because we achieved what we needed to achieve. And if you look at the 15 games that we've been in charge, I think we're joint sixth in the league for form. And the only teams above us are the lads that have either in the playoffs or finished just outside the playoffs. So it's a credit to everyone involved.
And finally, in cricket, Kent have lost to Surrey in their latest game in the county championship. They were beaten by an innings and 37 runs at Canterbury. It means Kent are still without a win after three games so far this season. The other two were draws. That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget you can follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok and Threads. You can also get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via The Briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.